and welcome to Men in Charge. I'm Kevin Decker.
And I'm Tony Flynn. Today's episode, much like last week's episode, but rather different, that was a clip show. This episode is entitled the Not Another Clip Show Clip Show. This show follows up on last week's clip show, even though this isn't a clip show,
right,
in which we continue with the background for Rocket to the Future, part one. We're going through chapters 3 through 5 today because next week we're doing the brand new Rocket to the Future, part one, chapter 6.
Now, we know that a lot of you have been following the adventures in Rocket to the Future of the Earth Space Force rocket Vanguard and its crew in the space age future year of 1992. But since you wrote down what you thought about it in blogs and we never read your blogs.
We don't care.
We don't care. We have no idea of whether you know this or not. So last week we filled you in on stuff from episodes 1 through 3 of our show. One of the things that happens that's very exciting in Rocket to the Future Part 1, Episode 3 is Cadet Billy has been taken over by the radioactive mysterious name tag. He's now Cadet Billy, Warlord of Mars. He's extremely clever. He's very ruthless. And he wants to take over the native insurrection on Mars so that he can lead his Martian brothers, sisters, and others to freedom against the Earth Space Force.
Yeah, the funny thing, though, is he's a villain, even though he's doing good.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, given Cadet Billy, who has broken Farley Stubbs, Galactic Encyclopedia salesman, and Lieutenant Nemesis out of the brig on the Vanguard and taken them with him, has given him 6 months to do his planning on Phobos, one of the moons of Mars, the scarier moon.
Right, much scarier than Deimos.
That's exactly right. So it's kind of unfortunate that the defenders of Earth are on Mercury right now, but they are going to try and make contact with the native Mercurians. Tony, as I remember, Captain Major has a bit of history with them.
Yeah, he does because of the way when he was in charge of communications as a cadet on the Shin Guard, his first ship.
Yeah.
And he didn't let the Mercurians know that an Earth Space Force ship was landing. So the Mercurians gathered underneath because they were excited by the landing.
Yeah.
And many of them were horribly massacred by the rocket flames.
So, I mean, it was bad for the Mercurians. But as far as the Earth people go, if you needed something to grit the path with during a snow, you've got plenty of material now.
It's disquieting.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I should be banned from radio for that.
I'm offended.
You should be. So we have the crew filing out to make contact with the Mercurians, and we actually have to, in our next clip, take a little time away from that to return to the war room of the Rocket Men on Planet B. Remember, they are the antagonists for this episode. And one of the things that they've done, besides dislocating the Vanguard in space to Mercury, has been to use their Luron beam, a mysterious device, to bring Hans and Jacques to Planet B, where Hans and Jacques demand evil alien absinthe.
Yeah, the problem with Hans and Jacques, you know, the meta, they exist on the meta-narrative plane, have been writing it. They've lost control of the narrative.
That's
here.
That's correct, yeah.
It's fallen to the rocket men from Planet B.
The dangers come from everywhere.
Yeah.
Belay that order, Admiral Veras. We must concentrate on derailing the efforts of the metafictional existentialist overlords.
They're prevented from translocalizing to the Vanguard, General.
Splendid! Now for the pièce de résistance, the last piece of their resistance.
Activate the Luron beam, Tony! Bring them to Planet B!
Like spiders in a web!
I think if you think about it, that we're the spiders and they are the flies in the web.
When I want evil commentary from you, Tony, I'll ask for it. Throw the switch.
It's never done that before.
Holy scheiße, it's the Rocket Man from Planet B.
Eternal hatred! You've stolen the dramatic reveal that I should have uttered!
We are offended that you have taken the liberty of interfering with our metafictional adjustments of the Rocket Vanguard, and we have both signed this paper insisting that you stop.
Idiotic post-Kantians! We have complete control over your metafictional universe!
No, you don't mean...
Yes! We are from a meta-metafictional universe!
And you are now prisoners of Planet B!
No, we're not.
What?
Shut up, Tony! Now, what?
We refuse to recognize any imputed asymmetries of powers that would designate us your prisoners. In fact, we spit at your hegemonic discourse.
Let's see how you hedge your anti-hegemonic discourse behind these core security disks!
While security disks may incarcerate walking trash cans with short shrubbery-like legs such as yourselves, we can simply climb over them, et voila!
And yet, you have no power to leave Planet B!
As I have said, if we invalidate your localized imperialistic wishes, we will stay, but by choice.
We will stay as your duress guests. Now where is your evil alien absent?
Well, we haven't talked about Captain Major much recently, but hey, he's awakened from his gin-induced coma and joined the crew in the modular landing bay of the Vanguard. I think he complains about put that damn sun out or something.
Yeah,
like
the
that.
Sun is too bright. Something has to be done about that.
So the problem is this. With the captain's uncertain history with the Mercurians, Commander Train, as the ship's security officer, engineer, doctor, many other
weapons
things.
Officer, weapons science officer.
She's not quite sure whether they should expect a hot or a cold reception from the Mercurians, particularly difficult because as Mercury doesn't rotate against the sun, there is a hot side and a cold side, so adding to the confusion, right? But in the next couple of clips,
yeah,
we're going to see...
Can I just want to slip in that, so they blow hot and cold.
Yeah.
Correlations.
That's good. I can...
You can edit that out.
I could come up with some more if I had a few minutes,
yeah.
But no, we won't. So in the next couple of clips that we're going to listen to right now, Commander Train would rather trust her weaponry than Captain Major's diplomatic skills. And we finally meet up with some Mercurians. It turns out that the leader of the Mercurians, the High Ovoid, welcomes all Earthmen to Mars, except, of course, for Cadet Fletcher, who, as we said many years ago, caused the death of many Mercurians.
Yeah, and they recognize that Captain Major is the former cadet.
So this is what the bridge looks like. Nice, roomy, airy. I don't suppose there's a cot for the captain, eh? Turn that damn light off.
That's not a light, Captain. That's the sun. And you're in the modular landing bay, not on the bridge.
Well, turn that damn sun off, then. Commander, I'm glad you're here. I don't know where I got this headache from. Could you give me a back massage? Just here?
I don't know if you're aware of it, Captain, but you're not even pointing toward your body. But if you'd like to lie down, I'll give you a quick running over with one of the EV rovers. The tires are ribbed, for your pleasure.
I don't think I like the sound of quick running over. No thanks. What's the sit rep? And what are you doing with all those weapons and bandoliers of boron pellets?
We're on Mercury, Captain, and several members of the crew have been captured by the Mercurians, as well as our new used android.
By the moons of Shackleton! I ordered a used andiron, not an android. What are we going to do with that kind of hunk of junk?
Actually, I'm hoping that if we can retrieve the crew and get the android in the middle of a large enough group of Mercurians, I can use my boron pellet accelerator here to blow up the perilithium battery at its core.
Nonsense. We've got to treat these feckless, rubbery Mercurians with care and respect, Commander.
That's a bit rich coming from you, Captain.
Thank you, Commander.
Is to see that since the rocket Shingard killed many, many, many Mercurians some Earth years ago, Mercurians can never entirely trust Earthers.
And that's why you have us tied up. We understand. However, we think there is potential for trade between Earth and Mercury. We have many products to offer, including number 3 pencils, used androids, and space gin.
Is that we have plenty of space gin already, thanks to Earther left behind by Shingard. Is to see him now, old Shep.
Hey, old fellow Earthers. Hey, are the Doobie Brothers still together?
Hail, Hyo Void. We come in peace from Earth, with many baubles and trinkets for old Shep.
Cadet Fletcher, as I live and breathe.
The rank has changed, but nothing else.
Is that all Earthers welcome on Mercury? Is this true, except for one, the noxious, unrepentant Shingard Communications Cadet? It was his fault, the Shingard Massacre.
Uh-oh.
Interesting. My memory banks say that the captain of the Vanguard used to be...
Is a fact that old Shep has brought the miracle of space gin to our world after deaths of so many Mercurians. Only this secret was to allow the few hundred surviving Mercurians to form political faction and rule Mercury under High Ovoid.
Is that for many years Mercurians have awaited return of Shingard Communications Cadet.
You'll probably want to join hands with him, or tentacles with him, and make up, right? Maybe even apologize for giving him bad dreams for so many years?
Is a negative. Is that we will drown him in space gin.
So this is a win-win scenario in any case?
Well, the excitement persists, because, using the stolen escape module from the Vanguard, Cadet Billy, Warlord of Mars, has landed, but he has captives. He has hostages.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Nemesis and Farley Stubbs, the Galactic Encyclopedia salesman, who, of course, now is no longer, but still covets the identity of Professor Shadowy.
Yeah. And the question really is, how is the Vanguard going to get, because of its apparent inability to blast off, going to get from Mercury to Phobos? A couple of crewmen, including crewman number 4, who now has a name tag that has given him a name, Spanky Hals, is thinking about making a space catapult out of raw materials to shoot the Vanguard up into space.
I mean, because when has that ever not worked?
Yeah, no, that would totally work. And we should mention, by the way, the Mercurians are no longer an issue because as the rocket men from Planet B's spaceship came to Mercury, it ignited the space gin that Shep had taught the Mercurians how to make. And as a result, history unfortunately repeats itself. There was a huge explosion destroying both the rocket men and most of the Mercurians as well.
That's why there are very few trips anymore to Mercury.
That's exactly
right. There's no point.
And also, notice Mercurians have never made contact with us on Earth.
Yeah.
There probably are none left.
They're pretty annoyed, too, the remaining.
This is my place. And these are my people.
Don't see any people. And the air on Mars smells like rotten eggs.
This isn't Mars, Cretan. It's Phobos, an irregularly shaped moon of Mars.
Oh, no.
What's the matter, Lieutenant?
I've always been afraid of this place. I don't know why. Irrational psychological condition, I suppose.
You should be afraid, Lieutenant. Here is where the plan for the downfall of Earth begins.
You know, it's not nice to betray your own home planet.
Well, you'll forgive me if I didn't poison the anti-space vaccine and sabotage the atomic space power relays on an Earth vessel. Oh yes, thanks to this name tag, I have superior awareness, Lieutenant. I know what you did on the Vanguard. Now the two of you have 2 choices only. Join me in leading my Martian battle brigades against the Earth Space Force, or die.
You'll never take me alive!
We have an early adopter for option number 2. Blast it! Missed! These Earth Space Force ray guns have such a limited battery life.
Well, I guess that means you don't have a weapon to use against me anymore. Do you, Cadet? And I bet I could knock your ass off this hill of regolith in a second.
As you can see, Lieutenant, I don't need a puny human weapon anymore. I have an army.
And that's as persuasive as an argument you need to make for me to take option number one. I'll join you and lead some Martians against the humans. But eventually, I'll betray you when your back is turned.
Lieutenant, I can see that I'll be able to trust you. Trust you much more than anyone else who doesn't have your curious speech affliction of giving away all your secret plans.
In our next clip, Ensign Zinn is sneaking up on Cadet Billy and his two hostages, Lieutenant Nemesis and Farley Stubbs, but he's going to be deceived because Cadet Billy still is Warlord of Mars and terribly dangerous.
And then in the next clip that we'll run after that, a climactic confrontation on Phobos between Cadet Billy, Warlord of Mars, and Lieutenant Nemesis, who does something right for once. He actually pretty much saves the Vanguard and maybe Earth, but we'll let you decide as you listen to these next exciting clips.
Yeah, his intentions, though, were not honorable.
Oh, no, not at all.
No.
Astrogation Office's log, Earth Space Force Rocket Vanguard, June 12, 1992. Unaccountably, the venereal time warp created by our used android has propelled us 6 months into the future, which is frustrating because I'll be overdue to pick up my dry cleaning, and they send the unclaimed stuff to the Salvation Army after a week. We're also off course. Phil was supposed to send us back to Earth, but instead we're on the irregularly shaped Martian moon of Phobos. I fear we'll find something truly fearful here. Anyways...
Hello, Ensign.
Ah, where did you spring up from?
Well, you were talking to yourself, so you weren't paying attention, and I just walked up.
You're out of uniform, Cadet. What are all these freaky medals, and are those epaulettes?
When the Martian natives caught up with me, they dressed me like this.
What are the Martians like, Billy? And how did you escape from them?
I'm surprised you don't know more about them, since you're an alien too, right? They're surprisingly noble in their way. Green, of course, but with tufts of fur that get uncomfortably stuck in their tunics all too often. They can't speak our language, but they love kiwi fruit and reproduce by fission. One Martian minute, you're chatting with Zlorb or Torby or what's-his-name, and then bloop! There are two of them. Really, they don't deserve the treatment they get from Earth.
That's dangerous talk, Cadet. Subversive.
And I didn't escape, Ensign.
What do you mean?
Look behind you.
Huh?
I'm Cadet Billy,
Warlord of Mars.
You're a traitor to Earthlings everywhere, Billy, but mainly those on Earth.
No, you're the traitor, Ensign.
I'm pretty sure you're the traitor.
No, you're the traitor.
What have I done that's treasonous? You're the traitor.
Report, War Adjutant Blithpleth-Wep.
We have the humans pinned down, sir.
We haven't had to do a thing, Cadet... Warlord Billy. One of the Vanguard crew's pathetic knitted catapults just collapsed on their rocket.
That's so cool. I never knew how clumsy and amateurish my crewmates were. My own clumsy amateurish put scales on my eyes. But if we didn't fight, then why are you panting?
I always get a little out of breath before I betray someone. Nerves, I guess.
You need to breathe into a space bag or something. Hey, wait a minute. I thought you said betrayal. I was right.
I have to warn you, Billy. I have been noted the finest swordsman in the Bronx.
Unfortunately, we're on Phobos.
And the less gravitational atmosphere here makes all this physical activity so much more difficult. But so worth it.
I must give the order to my Martian troops to overrun the Vanguard. King Leon, let him in now. Now why, traitorous Nemesis, do you say it's worth it?
Because you just ordered your troops into Rising Gorge. It's a shame what poor Martian grammar can do.
Did I say Kingler unlettered in-mouth, not out-mouth? How could I have made such an elementary mistake?
Probably because I knocked your Cadet Billy, Warlord of Mars, name tag off when we first crossed swords. It's at the bottom of the gorge, too.
Oh.
And so far as we know, Cadet Billy, Warlord of Nowhere, doesn't speak Martian.
Oh.
And get this. I did it all without blurting out my plan. Brilliant.
This is kind of embarrassing.
Your pal, Blithpleth Weep, survived, mainly because he speaks galactic English. We'll pick him off, like a Martian fish, in a Martian barrel.
There are no fish on Mars. Fish on Mars. Fish on Mars.
Well, we now move to Rocket of the Future, Part 1, Chapter 5. And we're back. Things are a little bit settled on Phobos with the Vanguard, except they are low on supplies. They have no communications with the rest of the Earth Space Force or Mars, and they can't take off.
And in Part 5, intriguingly, it seems like the announcer is onto something, because the announcer seems to think that there's a gigantic alien danger on the horizon. That's the announcer's title for episode or for Part 5. But in fact, what is Part 5 about, Tony?
Well, Hans and Jacques, the meta-narrators, have instead decided that the episode is entitled Performance Reviews in Space.
That's right.
Because even though the crew has been on the ship for only a few days, because of the time warp from the rocket men from Planet B, it's 6 months have passed, and so the ship says it's time for performance reviews.
And you cannot fight the bureaucracy.
No.
So, of course, Commander Train has to conduct these reviews because Captain Major is suffering from a bad bout of space gin.
And sedation,
and
using
that.
The big needle.
That's
from
right.
Commander Train.
So the former crewman number 4, crewman Spanky Howells, is reviewed first and gets the review of being irreproachably adequate. At the same time, Train reviews Phil the used android's performance so far, and it is revealed that Phil has little jets that allow him to move around on his own.
Gasoline jets.
Yeah, we didn't know that before. That's
yeah, but
amazing.
It does fill the ship's corridors with gasoline fumes.
Right. To be completely thorough, Commander Train has to perform a performance review for 2 non-crew members, Farley Stubbs, the Galactic Encyclopedia salesman who had formerly turned into Professor Shadowy, and Pip the Stowaway. And she has missions for Pip and Farley, but also has them tethered to each other to prevent them from escaping.
Yeah, or reaching their intended work areas.
That's right.
Yeah.
So in the review that we're about to listen to in its entirety, Cadet Cindy, who has been hopelessly in love with Commander Train since first coming to the Vanguard, is about to receive her review.
Sit down, Cadet Cindy.
Yes, Commander.
What's this, Cadet? Why is your uniform tunic unbuttoned to below your cadet clavicles?
Oh, well, sorry, Commander. It's just that it's very hot in here.
Nonsense. It's the regulation 66 degrees space Fahrenheit.
Maybe it's just me, Commander. I have a fever. I've had a fever for a long time.
How long? Since this morning?
Much longer. Since I first came on board the Vanguard.
Sounds like low-orbit space sickness to me. Why didn't you say anything about this condition before?
I tried to, Commander, but I didn't dare.
No crying. Remember, Cindy, female cadets don't cry. The males, yes, inevitably, but not the females.
Sorry, Commander.
Now go to sickbay and give yourself an injection of the low-orbit vaccine. And you're starting to simper, so use the big needle.
But what about my performance review?
Yes, of course. Nice weapon handling in our little fracas with the Martians. But the morale posters on C-Deck are beginning to curl at the corners. Take them down and iron them.
Yes, Commander.
But first, after your vaccine injection, wheel in Lieutenant Schickelgruber from sickbay.
Yes, Commander.
For the next clip, Commander Train has to review the work of the ship's doctor, science officer, weapons officer, chief engineer, and executive officer. And since she holds each of those positions, she has to review the conduct, and she finds that each of them has performed admirably.
That's right. In fact, she's putting in a recommendation for her own promotion to captain, which is probably overdue.
And Captain Major did want her to do the reviews, so
yeah.
He's signing off on them.
He has to sign off.
Next, I might as well do performance reviews for the ship's doctor, science officer, weapons officer, and chief engineer. Fortunately, everyone's right here. Dr. Train, Iris, your work during this succession of stressful episodes has been remarkable. During each of Lieutenant Schickelgruber's sequential burn episodes, you refrained from pampering him with a lot of unnecessary pain medication, and you returned him to duty with remarkable speed. Well done. Thanks, Commander. Next, Weapons Officer Train. You prevented the disaster on Mercury from being a weapons-related disaster, and in this last set-to on Phobos, you drove back the Martian assault. Brilliant use of the boron pellet weaponry. Good job, Iris. Just doing my duty, ma'am. Now, Science Officer Train, good work. But you haven't yet determined how we were transported from Earth to Mercury without blasting off, and why we entered a 6-month time warp. Still working on that, ma'am. It may point to alternative means of more rapid propulsion, as well as a way to skip past some of the more tedious longueurs of spaceflight. Is that your assessment as well, Chief Engineer Train? Yes, Commander, though I'm not as optimistic as our science officer. We're still getting no ignition of the engine's atomic pile. Very good, Iris. Keep me informed and work together on our propulsion opportunities. Yes, Commander. Aye, aye, sir. Now I'll need the captain to do mine.
And for our last clip that brings you up to the present in the future of Rocket to the Future, Lieutenant Nemesis has been demoted to ensign for his sabotage and poisoning the anti-space vaccine on the Rocket Vanguard, is intending that he will in fact turn his disadvantage to advantage, and we hear him stuck away in a bulkhead where he's supposed to be doing repairs, actually doctoring a taped copy of his terrible performance review.
Comets to meteors, it's snug inside this bulkhead. What I've really been doing is doctoring my so-called and totally unfair performance review. Let's see how it sounds.
Your commendable resistance to Cadet Billy's conduct as Warlord of Mars, you will be demoted to the rank of Lieutenant
Commander.
So, you did, in fact, commendable to the Vanguard, commendable to your Space Force oath, your mission, and your crewmates. However, while you remain commendable both to this rocket ship and to the Earth Space Force's decades of effort to colonize the solar system, Cadet Billy will be sentenced to 10 years of hard labor in the dust swamps of Venus. Ensign Zinn, drag ex-ensign Nemesis out of that bulkhead and throw him into the brig.
Okay, everybody should be ready now for next week's Rocket to the Future Part 1, Chapter 6, but let's thank our cast before we leave.
And that includes Kevin Decker, Tony Flynn, Kendall Feeney, Mimi Marinucci, Terry McMullen, Ryan Weldon, Cindy Nover, Nancy Roth, and Nisha Schramm.
And we'd also like to thank the three people who signaled their triadicity by wearing tricorn caps: Vern Windham, Kerry Boyce, and the State of Idaho Department of Fish and Game's poster boy for 5 years running, Brian Lindsay.